everybody. Welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen, and today is April 12th. Today, we're going to continue in this week's Come Follow Me block, and we're going to jump into Jacob chapter 7. Now, Jacob chapter 7 is really interesting because if you look at the end of Jacob chapter 6, it seems pretty clear that Jacob was done. He had bid his people farewell. He had taught them everything that he wanted to teach them. He had said everything that he wanted to be said. He had written everything that he was planning to write. In fact, if you see at the very end of Jacob chapter 6, he says, "Finally, I bid you farewell until I shall meet you before the pleasing bar of God." And so he said, "I'm done talking to you. I bid you farewell until I see you on the other side." This is a big old goodbye. And so it begs the question, what had happened and what was so important that Jacob picked up the plates again to write? What was so important that he took back his final goodbye and wrote this chapter? So keep that in mind as you study Jacob chapter 7, that this was so important to Jacob and to the people that he began to write again, just so that we could have this story and this information. This story is about Sherem, who is going to come into the people and he's going to start preaching that there is no Christ. So let's jump into Jacob chapter 7 and see what was so important to Jacob that it caused him to tack on this chapter at the end. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And now it came to pass, after some years had passed, there came a man among the people of Nephi, whose name was Sherem." Now, there are a couple things that are interesting here. First of all, some years later, there comes a man among the people of Nephi, which would lead us to believe that this man was not a Nephite. He didn't live among them. He came from outside among them, meaning he was most likely a Lamanite. And so there's a chance that he heard or maybe remembered Christ being spoken of or taught about by Lehi or Nephi or Jacob. And so he now leaves the Lamanites to come among Jacob and his people for the purpose of trying to deceive them. In fact, if you look down in verse 3, it says that he had sought much opportunity that he might come unto me. So he had taken a lot of effort. He had sought much opportunity to come and talk to Jacob, which here there would have been probably between 200 and 300 people among the Nephites at this time, by my best guess. And so if he had been a Nephite, it wouldn't have been that difficult. He wouldn't have had to seek much opportunity to speak to Jacob. He could have sought him out pretty easily. And so I really do believe, I think that all the evidence in this chapter and in these verses point us to the fact that Sherem was a Lamanite, come among the Nephites with the purpose to deceive. So let's take a look at some of the things he taught, because understanding Sherem and his deceptions can help us see and understand the deceptions of the world that we live in today. In verse 2, it says, "And he preached many things which were flattering unto the people. And this he did that he might overthrow the doctrine of Christ." And then if you jump down into verse 4, it says that he could use much flattery and much power of speech. Now, the reason why this stands out to me so much is that if you think about it, one of the most flattering things that you can say to someone, especially someone who is struggling in faith, is that they're right, that everything that they're thinking, everything that they're believing is absolutely accurate, that they don't have to keep the commandments, that they can live the way they're wanting to live, and that that is all good and right. People love to hear that the way that they're thinking is right. And so it would be flattering for them if Sherem came in and said, "Yep, you're right. Live the way you want to live." I think that this is powerful and important to see because I think that this is one of the most common lies that the adversary is trying to spread in our day. In fact, if you remember in 2 Nephi chapter 28, it says that the devil flattereth the people, saying that there is no devil, that there is no hell. And he does this so that he can convince them that anything that they want to do is okay. And that is a flattering thing. People want to be able to do whatever they want to do. That's just a natural man tendency. So it is a very flattering thing for someone to say, "Yeah, anything goes, whatever you want, you do you," right? And this is a problem that we see in our society today. It's a tool of the adversary that is so incredibly pronounced in the latter days. In 1971, Marion G. Romney gave a talk called Satan the Great Deceiver. And in that talk, he talks about this tool of the adversary and how it's so prevalent in today's society. He says, "The general acceptance of Satan's declaration, 'I am no devil, for there is none,' accounts in large measure for the decadence in our deteriorating society. We as Latter-day Saints need not be, and we must not be, deceived by the sophistries of man concerning the realities of Satan. There is a personal devil, and we had better believe it. He and a countless host of followers, seen and unseen, are exercising a controlling influence on men and the affairs in our world today." My friends, it's so important that we do not fall victim to this deception, because there is a God, and it matters what we choose. So let's continue on and take a look at another tool of the adversary that we see in Sherem here. In verse 5, it says, "And he," meaning Sherem, "had hope to shake me from the faith." Again, I think that this is so prevalent in our society today with Google and social media and influencers and, quite frankly, a whole lot of angry people in the world today. It is not a matter of if we are going to come up against something that will shake our faith or will lead us to a question about our faith. It's a matter of when that happens. And my friends, it's important to know and understand that that is okay if you have a question about the gospel. I think for so many years, questions were seen as being the antithesis of faith, right? The opposite of faith. And it's not. Our entire restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ started with a question from a 14-year-old boy. Questions are not bad, but it does matter what we do with those questions. Doctrine and Covenants 6:36 says, "Look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not." So questions are good, yet we're commanded not to doubt. So that leads us to ask, what is the difference between doubting and between having a question? And my friends, the answer lies in what we do with those questions when they arise. Doubt means that we sit and we stew in those questions. And that can be a very dangerous place to be. Doubt means that we're seeking for answers that affirm our doubt. We're looking for things that confirm our thoughts or our negative feelings. Questions are seeking faith, and seeking faith affirming answers. So it's so important that when questions arise, we seek answers coming from a place of faith. And when we do that, we can achieve answers, and those answers can lead to greater and greater faith. In 2009, Elder Uchtdorf gave a talk called The Reflection in the Water, and listen to what he says about questions versus doubt. He says, "God commands us to seek answers to our questions, and asks only that we seek with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ. When we do so, the truth of all things can be manifest to us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Fear not, ask questions, be curious, but doubt not. Always hold fast to the faith and to the light you have already received. Because we see imperfectly in mortality, not everything is going to make sense right now. In fact, I think that if everything did make sense to us, it would be evidence that it had all been made up by a mortal mind. Remember, God has said, 'My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.' Nevertheless, you know that one of the purposes of mortality is to become more like your heavenly Father in your thoughts and in your ways. Viewed from this perspective, searching for answers to your questions can bring you closer to God, strengthening your testimony instead of shaking it. It is true that faith is not a perfect knowledge, but as you exercise your faith, applying gospel principles every day under any circumstances, apply those principles wherever you are. And whenever it is, you will taste the sweet fruits of the gospel, and by this fruit, you will know of its truth." My friends, I testify that seeking answers to our questions can bring us closer to our Father in heaven, that the gospel of Jesus Christ can stand up to our questions if we are willing to seek with the Spirit and with an open mind and an open heart. I testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of a loving Father in heaven who has given us his plan to bring us home to him. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.